full day, right? All right, so a few weeks ago, actually, I hadn't shared with you guys in a while. And thank you guys for all your kindness last Sunday, you know, and the gifts that we received. It's phenomenal and surprising blessing, so I thank you for it. And Pastor Mel did a great job last week on honor. And then the week before, Minister Sammy did a great job on miracles. So I knew I hadn't been here talking Sunday in a while. I got to change that. Y'all can't be. Nah, I'm playing. That's just a joke. All right, so but a couple of weeks, about two, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about from the topic of just face it, God loves you. So that's what we're talking about today. Part two, just face it, God loves you. And so we started talking about how I know we had talked about the significance test on Wednesday, and how, you know, our life is really a search for significance. You know, everyone has a desire to have meaning and purpose for their life, or worth for their life. And so you start to look at situations, and you look at people making choices, decisions to somehow or another fill this void or this gap, because you've been designed to want value. Like, you shouldn't be existing just because. Like, we're not designed just to exist. And if you do, you can't sit long before you are thirsting to be somebody. So we pick up style. So, because I, you know, we was at games all day yesterday, so I watched all the styles. And I could see other players in different styles. I don't know the rapper's name, but I know he has a commercial where he wears a baseball cap and he got his fro coming out to the side. What is it? Who? Chance. Okay, so a kid looking just like him. I'm talking about exactly. Like, when he's coming across the street, I said, whoa. I said, I seen that commercial, right? And then, you know, so I seen kids. I seen the, what's the Odell Beckham? Is that? Yes, I seen that. He's blonde hair. Yeah, everything shaved right here. My grandson has a fade with the I called it red, but they said it ain't red. They said it's honey blonde. So I had to get it right. You know, I was like, I said, what's up, red top? No, it ain't red. It's like honey blonde. So they got him in the honey blonde. So I seen all these different styles, but what it is, it's a search for significance. So you know, I'm not dogging them out. I was young. I had a high top fade, you know. You know, not as high as kid and play, but it was up there. It was high, flat top. Till as I started getting closer and closer, you know, because I started to cut it down. As you grow, you know, you start cutting it down. And I realized I had a bald spot up there, but not because I was bald, because your hair, it ain't flat. Yeah, I was like, this ain't going to work, man. Let me just go keep it simple. So I just kept it simple since. But it's all a search for significance, your style, why you wear certain clothes, you know, why everybody walking around wearing skinny jeans and I won't crack. I'm not going to tell a joke, I promise. I'm going to try not to, right? But what? Because it's a search for significance. Why I gave you the stats before. I think it was 2016. People spent $14 billion on plastic surgery. That's a whole lot of people trying to change what God designed. $14 billion on plastic surgery. Changing stuff. Right? Because they're not happy with God customized and gave them. Like me, used to, when I was a kid, used to walk around like this, talking like this, because of the Bradley lip. Oh, that's right. You're Bradley, so you know. Right? Well, Kanye now, but Bradley's in your middle name. Right? Carter Park. What's up? Don't even sound right, do it. Yeah, as opposed to just appreciating the way God gave me. I wanted to be at least 6'7", you know, 6'7", 6'8", you know, made my basketball career a whole lot easier, but God made me the size he made me for a particular reason. And so, again, we have to get to a point with significance. Arguments. Why are couples, and especially young couples, arguing? Somebody may do something. I didn't really do that. You didn't see that. Yes, you did. You did it, and you messed up. My little nephew, my grandson, comes out of the game. It's his first league. It's really his first real league. So he comes out of the game, and I started to show him something. I don't know how to play basketball. Like, he gave me, like, almost like, before you say anything, Okay, I give up. Now, before he played in the league, you couldn't tell him nothing. Well, now it's like, I don't know how to play basketball. I said, okay, well, I said, grandson, this is where you learn. This is the age where you learn. I said, you're constantly learning. I said, so then I was showing them stuff. I said, don't worry about it. I said, remember Wednesday night? So Wednesday night, we talked about the courage test. So they remember it gets ugly. Like, they remember that before it gets good, right? So he said, I get it, it gets ugly. So each game, he's been doing better and better. And then you can see, like, he had a little smile on his face, you know. He's like, okay, I'm getting it now. I said, remember, he said, ugly before it gets good, right? So, but if you search for significance, you don't want to look ugly at all. It got to be perfect all the time. You ain't coming out the house. You know. I have some people that I know, some people that follow us, they listen to all the videos. Nobody don't come to church? Because they don't like the way they look. They want to wait till they get in shape. They may have been in the same shape. Don't get mad when you hear this. It's the truth. They've been in the same shape for the last 15, 20 years. So you ain't going to come around the people of God, get that layered learning we talked about this morning, all because what? You don't think you're significant based on your appearance, which is just such a small part of who you are, right? Right, so everybody's in search for significance. We talked about that. But the scripture says, let's go to 2 Corinthians. It's our foundational scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. Let's run over there real quick. I promise, because we got the fellowship, that I would try to make quick work of this today. All right, so 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves or comparing themselves among others, are not wise. Look, 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, dare not. That's like a one. Okay, hold on. Let's amplify it here real quick. What does amplify says? Look, it says, not that we have the audacity to venture to class or even to compare ourselves with some who exalt and furnish testimony for themselves, create, you know, just make up stuff. However, when they measure themselves with themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and behave unwisely. Because you can, Sis Debbie, as sharp as you are, I cannot compare myself to you. I will never be able to be you or do what you do. So why waste my time? You know what I'm really good at? Actually, I'm an expert at it. I'm sweet at it. Being Keith. I'm trying to tell you. I'm great at being Keith. I guarantee you can't be Keith like me. But I can't be Felipe. We don't shoot the same. We don't make moves the same. We don't have the same body structure. We wasn't exposed to the same things. So I learned from him, but even when if I try to translate something I learned from him, it's still gonna come out of Keith. I'm great at Keith, but I have to be comfortable with that. So what we do is we end up trying to get respect among fools and try to conform and follow other people and get ourselves in trouble because you can't fly with somebody else's wings. Young people get in trouble all the time. We didn't go to sleep as quickly as we could have because there was domestic disturbance. But there's a party in our cul-de-sac and behind our house, some young kids. So this is the second party they've had. They had a graduation party. So somebody left a beer bottle in our yard. And then they had a party last night. So you know, the grandkids came downstairs like, somebody's running in the backyard. So I go outside, which she's like, she gave me a timer, like, okay, if you go out there, you got to be back by a certain time, or I'm coming out after you, right? So I work with youth all the time. I just went out to talk to them. That's all I did. I didn't do nothing crazy. I said, young people, I got some grandkids trying to go to sleep over here. Y'all going to have to tone it down. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll tell everybody. But I said, and some of y'all, somebody's scared my grandkids. Was it the disturbance? The trouble left, this is what they said. But the young girl that threw the party, I can tell, they just took over her house. All because what? her value was, look, y'all can use my house for a party. She probably wasn't even the life of the party. Like they were doing stuff independent of her. They just took over. Just like I had a brother-in-law. He's young though. He's my son's age, and so he actually was doing well in life because his father had a pretty good business. So but he wanted to be like everybody else. So he left the suburbs to go to the hood. Then he joined a gang, but the only reason the gang allowed him in is because he had a car. Ain't nobody else have a car. So now he driving around, and certain people couldn't let him out. All the people, he can go to anybody's house. They start limiting the house he can go to. Why? Because with you come the gang. And I told him, I said, you realize, like, you are of no value. Let your car break down. You have no significance. Your only significance is your car. But you're trying to keep up and be like fools. Respect among fools is what we call it. Now, I'm talking about the young kids, but we was talking about this with the young kids basketball. If you don't nip that thing in the bud when you're young, your whole life will be about proving yourself to people. Your whole life will be about keeping up. You'll find yourself 40 and 50, 60 years old, still going out to clubs for what? Now, help me out. Now, listen, I wasn't a pastor all my life. Just for the record. So if y'all think easy for you to say, I wasn't a pastor all my life. I got high, I drank, I did all types of stuff. Actually, I did it more than y'all even thinking about doing it right now. Some of y'all. You know, so I went to clubs 5 days a week. Only days I didn't go was the days it wasn't open. And the clubs stay open to the next day. You probably wonder how I got through college. I did, but on 1 hour of sleep a day. I was getting respect among fools, killing myself at the club. And honestly, when I was at the club, I couldn't trust nobody. See, this is the reality. When we left the club, everybody I talked to, we was at the club last night. It was on and popping, whatever. I don't know what y'all say now. It turned up, whatever. But all the accolades we really get at the club, that wasn't true. We didn't have a good time. Couldn't trust nobody. You know, you didn't know what you was going to get when you got what you got. You was looking at them over your back the whole time, so you had to get numb to even deal with these people. Because if you ain't say the right thing, you have no value. Now, I'm talking about I had a PhD in clubbing. VIP. I was dating the manager. VIP, I had all access to every club from Washington, D.C. to New York. I kid you not. Fun House in D.C., the Paradise Garage, Studio 54, all these clubs, I was in all of them. I ain't pay. I just went to all of them. So, but what was I doing? I was trying to keep up. I wasn't being me. I was a Superman around kryptonite. Like some of y'all are, and we can tell when you come around. So you don't know, you be reeking kryptonite. You just as dark, as weighted as can be. Just looking foolish, but you don't. See, y'all mad now, right? Y'all ain't want to hear this sermon. But it's true. I'm just saying, like, I'm only saying it to challenge you. Like, you're looking for fulfillment. Fulfillment's looking for you. But fulfillment is looking for you. The you that God designed. Fulfillment can't see you if you cover it with them. So you're going to stay thirsty. You're going to stay with that void. You're going to still feel devalued and of no value. If it's so much fun, why when you by yourself you thinking about you don't know if you want to live? If you're having such a great time. Why are you looking to give up and quit? People are having a good time. Listen, when I'm having a good time, I just want to have a good time all night long. Listen, we was having so much fun with the grandkids, we didn't even want to go to sleep. Well, we had to. Right? So when I'm having a good time, I just want to milk it. Let's just keep it going. When we having a good time, we be playing around. We like, well, we got to go to sleep. So I be picking with her. I was like, babe, we got to go to bed. I ain't going to bed. I was like, nah, babe, no, seriously. Like, we really do got to go to bed. We got to get up in the morning. Like, and we got to go to bed. But not one time I'm going, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. Never even crossed my mind. If you having such a good time, why is that crossing your mind? That's a question. It's just a question. That's all. That's all. It's just a question. All right, so again, we're talking about significance here. And let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. I said I would make quick work. And I guess since I ain't being with y'all on a Sunday, God's ministering to what's going on in people's lives. Is God hitting home? He must be, because this is not my sermon plan. All right, so 2 Corinthians 3, what do you think, Mr. Mark? God must be hitting home, huh? Okay, all right. Is that an amen, brother? All right, so in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and such trust have we through Christ, through God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So our significance is where we are in God. Not where we are to others or where we think we are. Our significance. That's why you, listen, man, that's why it's so funky. And listen, I know, listen, I've been young. I was talking to my granddaughter earlier in the first service. We were sitting there just talking about how you learn. And I was like, you know, I was talking about how my grandson, before I can open my mouth sometimes, be like, yeah, okay, I know. Now I already know that, you know, and he's been humbled since he's been out here because he realizes what he doesn't know. And so she was like, yeah, I said, the reason why you learn, I said, is because you watch and you listen. That's why you learn so much. I said, some stuff you're going to see later. I said, I know what my grandson's going through because I remember how I was. And I remember my college coach. I hated that dude. Couldn't tell me nothing. I go make a pass, come down court, throw a pass. This guy catch it, dunk. Crowd goes wild. Coach be like, Bradley! What should that have been? Bounce pass, coach. Like, would you just shut up? Didn't you see the crowd going wild? This is what I was thinking to myself. We in game film going by. I come down, make a sweet dish, throw it behind my head. We score. All the teammates. Whoa! Wow! He stopped the film. Bradley! What should that have been? Bounce pass, coach. Could we finish watching the film, please? Can a brother get a little props for anything? We did score, didn't we? But he was trying to train me the right way. It wasn't about if we scored. It was about, can that translate in a great situation under pressure? To this day, they play with me. I throw bounce passes. Religiously. I was telling my granddaughter, I said, man, actually I do a lot of things my coach taught me. I'm looking to connect with my coach. He's a weird dude. He don't answer no calls from nobody in the country. So I got to go see him. But look at that. But he don't even know that I'm sitting around saying he was one of the most valuable people in my life. So some of the things you kicking and screaming, I told my granddaughter, I said, like, y'all not listening to me. That don't hurt me. I'm the messenger. I'm good. It's on you. And so you can sit in your chair right now like, I don't think it take all that. It's not about what you think. It's about reality. We talked about this morning, right? We said there's a perception of a view, there's a perspective of a view, and then there's the truth. Right? Perspective, there's a point of view. So you're looking at something, but you only can see it from a point. There's a perception of a view. There's an angle in which you're looking at it. But that's just the angle of the image. But then there's the truth, the actual, the reality. And that's what's so funky is you think your feelings are connecting to truth. Your feelings are connecting to perceptions and perspectives. And if you don't spend a lot of time in the Word and a lot of time with God, it's a clouded perception and a clouded perspective. And you're making choices every day based on a clouded perception and a clouded perspective. And a lot of times it's the dominant thing that you've been fed, who you've been around. It could have been a religion. So you're being fed religion because you've mastered being approved by your religious circles. You think you're okay. Have you mastered being approved by God? Or because the people you hang out with or the dominant people you hang with, you've mastered their approval, which is a bunch of perceptions and a bunch of perspectives. And because you've mastered that, you think you're okay. Really. You should be mastering your life based on the truth, and that comes from God only. So if you're not spending time around God, can you really trust the choices you've been making in your life up to this point? See, just face it, God loves you. So all God giving you is what's best for you. That's what love does. I was talking about my grandson, and so it was really, he's getting better and better, but he's been struggling because he hasn't been playing with a team. And so my conversation with my son, and this is on video, is put him in and give him all the layers. Don't just take him out shooting. Put him in environments where he can learn everything. Give him, and I was sharing with some parents last night, our job as parents is to put you in the best position where you can do what you want to do. But we can't make you do it. We can't make you work. We can't make you be disciplined. We can't make you focus. But you're in the arena. I did my job. Now, you want to take advantage of it? It's like, I can get you a job, but I can't make you keep it. I got a young man in the college, but I couldn't make him stay there. Walk through the doors on the reputation of the person that sent him. That person's not in that school right now. See? But I did my job. I got him in their atmosphere. Y'all think I'm talking about school and kids, don't you? Our job is to put you in the position for you to fulfill purpose. But we can't make you a scribe. Like, when you don't think it's all that, my son calls me to this day. I was telling my granddaughter, I said, you know, when you be hearing your dad on the phone going, Dad, I see what you're saying. Dad, I see what you're saying. My dad always told me, we the greatest thing since sliced bread now. Based on what? He's seeing it all play out. We gave him advanced information. He's seeing it play out. So now he values what we're saying. I'm not talking about just my son. What do you think? You think I'm toiling with God for me? Yes. But not for me only. I'm sacrificing time and fun just for me only? Man, I love basketball. I saw game 1 and 2 the day they were played. 3, 4, and 5, I didn't see those games while they was playing because it was fast week. I got to set myself apart to hear from God to make sure we got what we need. You think I didn't want to see the games? Yes. That day. It's the NBA championship. It's not like, you know, game during the course of the season. But she'll tell you, shut out everything. I didn't see the game, so I came back from Ohio. And then one of them didn't record. Remember, the game 5, I didn't know I was going to be there that long. So I didn't record game 5 and didn't record game 4. Thank God, because I didn't want to see that anyway. But game 5, we thought we recorded on the road. Got home, it wasn't even recorded. So it's not about what I can enjoy. It's about making sure I can hear from God. So you're married, obviously, because you're married to me. So y'all trying to hear from God. So what's best for your mate and your family, right? That's the most important thing. Or is it PS4? Or is it Lifetime? What's the most important? Hearing from what you need for your family? I just skipped your life. What about that? That's what's most important, even those that are individuals. You want to be hearing. You say you love somebody. Are you getting what you need to be the best person that can benefit that person's life? See, God, just face it, God loves you. God does everything to make sure you get what you need. I'm asking you toiling and pressing through sickness and disease. How come God didn't just make it easy? Because you needed to use that faith that's been in there all the time. God could have made it easy, but would you have the faith you have now? God just wants, see, God is sweet. He wanted you healed and faithful. Not, you think it was about cancer? No, it was about fulfillment. He needed to break you of fear. See, God does what's best for us. My grandson, he come out, he's shooting shots. So he, oh Jesus. So he get the ball. And you know, Steph Curry shoots, sometimes he just flick the wrist and jump back. So everybody's trying to be Steph Curry now. They forget all the stuff he did before that. So I said, what are you doing? I said, man, get them feet right, man. So I was teaching them slow fake. So slow fake, bend your knees, fast move, balance shot. So I'm saying over and over, slow fake, fast move, balance shot. Slow fake, fast move, balance shot. So he get back to the line. I said, Mondo, what are you doing with your feet? Then he's like this. Then he make a shot the right way. Then next time, he like this. Then he like this. Then he's holding the ball. I guess he's seen Steph doing something. He's holding the ball down here. I said, Mondo, what are you doing? So I said, I don't care if you make shots. I said, he said, I shoot all the time. I said, yeah, all the wrong ways. I said, that doesn't translate, obviously, in the games he's trying to play. I said, what translates is training yourself the right way all the time, even when no one's watching. So I created a video for him. So I showed him drills and shots and stuff. He's like, Grandpa, how'd you do that? How you do that? And I said, then I have a session. I call it a keep session. So I'm crossing over, I'm spinning, I'm putting it behind my back. I got all these different, like 30 different types of moves, right? But I only get to play after I've taken care of business. Nobody's around, and I had to make like 50 in a row, right hand, at least 35 in a row, left hand shots in a row. So if I miss 34, I gotta start all over again. And I would tell myself, Keith, no, you don't get to play today until you make these shots in a row. Then you get to play. That's what I wanna do. I wanna play like everybody else. I wanna play, I wanna spin, I wanna cross, I wanna do all the cute stuff. You don't get to play until you handle business. Yeah, I think I'm talking about basketball, don't you? See, you allow yourself to play when you haven't earned it, but you don't do that with your kids, though, do you? With your kids, they can't do stuff until they did their chores, until they handle their business. Oh, but now since you're an adult, those don't apply to you. You get to play all the time. Oh, you get to play because you went to work. Really? That's it? That's the only rule? I went to work, I get to play. So I'm working and chilling. That's my rule. I don't have to read the Bible because God understands I work today. That excuses me for reading the Bible. Oh, well, God understands I'm on vacation. So that excuses me for reading the Bible. Well, God understands I have people that came in town. So that excuses me for reading the Bible, right? Will you ever read it? Because there's always something going on. That's why they call it discipline, because you're doing it in the midst of other options. Everybody can go cold turkey when there's nothing else to do. It's when you have a choice of other things to do that honors God. Yeah, of course, mom and dad bring you to church and you gotta go. Yeah. What you gonna do? Smack them in the face? Please, I tell you what, you go to church by yourself, you ain't gonna eat. And if you ain't got no car, you ain't going nowhere. And you do nobody paying for your AAU or none of that. But now that you can choose whether or not to go, what you doing? That's what God's looking at. God, before God's like, yeah, you're only in there because your mommy and daddy brought you. Choosing to come, even if nobody's bringing you, in the midst of other options, that's when it counts. What in the world have y'all done up in here? Because this was not, like, I don't even know what we're doing. All right, so, all right, okay. How much time I got? Okay, you was going to say it out loud, wasn't you? I seen you. All right, thank you. All right, so I got enough time to at least give you this. All right, so again, we were talking about just facing God's love you, and we're talking about fulfillment here, and we're talking about true fulfillment, and God's solution for counterfeit fulfillment is fellowship in his body, coming around. That's his solution for counterfeit. Now, our fellowship starts with the Father. It's communion with God, then fellowship with others. That's God's solution, because what? 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, you know, when you behold him, like we're looking through the word, like in a mirror, you're changed into his image day by day. And he fearfully and wonderfully made you for a reason. So we find our true significance and our true worth in God's presence. So God put in every human to find value or significance. You know, it's in all of us. You know, but he said, just come unto me, all you that are heavy laden with trying to keep up with everybody else. I'll give you rest, rest for your souls. See, we find rest in God because, look, there's no work to be you. You were designed to do that. You do that without thinking about it. The work that you're putting in now is trying to keep up with them. You can't do it. You're going to get tired. So it was this scripture my wife mentioned the other week, laying aside every weight. The weight is you keep carrying the weight of trying to keep up. Man, that's a lot of work, man. And it's frustrating because you're like, you slip out. You know, you're Donna, we sitting around, we fellowshipping, Syracuse, we hanging out. And we just hanging out. And so we've mastered what everybody desires. So we're so accepted because we know we've learned the language. You know, so there's the Syracuse hangout in the dorm language. There's Syracuse hangout in the pub language. There's Syracuse hangout and smoke out language. But we've learned all the languages, right? So we mastered that. So everybody's laughing, but we drop our guard and we slip out, like Keith slips out. And everybody look, what you say? I was just playing. No, you wasn't playing. You was being you. But see, you is not accepted. You can't be you and hang out with them. You got to be them to hang out with them. But only that's hard. That's a weight. I don't usually, you in sales, some of y'all in business, man, keeping up is crazy. Like, you be trying to network. Networking is good, but in some cases, it's the most retarded thing in the world. Because, like, you show up at everything to be around thousands of people, and you may get one sale. You could have hung out with God and got, like, 100. Just on favor. Just on attraction, right? But well, they say I have to be at this networking event. And you just keeping up because you figure if you miss out, that could be the opportunity. That'd be the hookup, man. That'd be the hookup, right? It's a setup. I pledged the fraternity, so I know some of y'all may like this and not like this. But one of the catches was supposed to be, well, once you pledge, man, you could lean on the shield, right? And leaning on the shield was, man, you go get a job, just another. You say you Phi Beta Sigma, you get a job. I know a lot of Sigmas that's doing a lot of good things in life. But you know what's been my greatest hookup? Yeah, don't be getting mad. But my greatest hookup is not Phi Beta Sigma. And I'm cool with a lot of brothers that's doing a lot of great things, and we cool. We cool. That's my caveat. What is Stephen A. Smith? Not casting any aspersions on Phi Beta Sigma. Some of y'all, it's first take. Yeah. Like, he'll say he's not casting any aspersions, and then you be casting aspersions. But anyway, so... my greatest hookup has been the kingdom. How do we get all types of favor? The greatest impact in our lives and why we're standing here talking to you has been kingdom hookups. I wish I'd known that a long time ago. I wouldn't have got my butt kicked for all that time, for those 7 weeks and 2 days, breaking paddles and stuff on me. Yeah, you see, y'all mad again. I'm just saying, compared to Christ, I wouldn't have, think about it. You wouldn't have got your butt kicked like that either. That's for the people that's going to watch this on video that's going to be like, why are you playing us like that? You got my butt kicked. I might as well commit to... And anyway, I know. But what I'm trying to tell you is our value is in Christ. So our value isn't centered on what we do or what we have done, but only on the truth and acceptance of God's love. The scripture says he came unto his own, they received him not. So he came to love us. It's like, no, but I don't want to mess up my approval from them. Think about it. When Christ is pulling on you, why aren't you coming? You ain't coming because you're like, what are they going to say? How come Christ is a secret? How come when you're having your social fellowships, how come we ain't talking about Christ? Around here, Jesus has totally impacted my life. My life has never been the same. How come that's not the conversation with the social hookup? Well, you know, I mean, who am I to force? Oh, it's forced now to talk about what's impacting your life. That sale impacted your life. You ain't go, well, I don't want to force that sale on them. Sports is, you know, I don't want to force my opinion about sports. You be arguing about, nah, I think LeBron is the best. Well, I think KD is the best. Big argument. But, you know, listen, I don't want to strive with nobody about Jesus. Oh, now all of a sudden, Jesus is the only thing that's in this category. Everything else, you know, they could just gonna walk up on me and say such and such. Who they, you know? See, I didn't want them to just think that they could just roll up on me like that. Were they rolling up on you, smoking and drinking and cussing? How come you ain't rise up about that? You rising up about if somebody walked on your lawn? I told the dude when he's walking, I just did it on purpose. We play on the lawn all the time. I just did it because I wanted to let the young people know there's boundaries. Hey, man, you just walked on my lawn. I just did it on purpose, you know. Just so they're like, okay, somebody at least in that house gonna say something to us. That's all. That's all. Right, mama? That's all. All right, so my whole point is, why are we hiding Christ? Help me out. Why are we not both? He loves us. Oh, when you was in love with that girl, how come that? You ain't hide that. You know each other for 2 months. That wasn't hidden. Well, you just don't understand. You alienate every relationship you know. Because you what?
I'm in love.
Ain't agape. It's infatuation. There's the butterflies kicking in. The butterflies ain't gonna get you through the wars. Ask all the people that's been married for a long time. Yeah, there's just some stuff you got to learn. Right, but we gonna talk about that. I'm in love. Well, so they just trying to stop me from enjoying myself. They don't know what love is. I thought you was in love with God. How come we ain't going? They don't know what love is. You alienate your friends for a new relationship with a male or female, but you not alienate your friends for a strong relationship with Christ. Babe, is that right? That ain't right, y'all. That ain't right. That ain't right. Hiding your relationship with Christ. You're in a relationship, and you talking to people like you open market. You with the devil. You with lust. You with fear. They coming to have a relationship with you. How you doing? You dating anybody? Not really. You had the ring of the anointing on you, but you put your hand in your pocket. Oh, no. Why'd you ask? Why'd you ask? I have some people I'm cool with, but nothing serious. Now we can go out. So now you're hanging out with fear. You're hanging out with doubt, insecurity, lust. You got all types of relationships going on. I ain't commit to you. Why? So help me out. Like, why does your relationship with Christ take a backseat? All right. So this is the thing we have to. If we don't receive God, we reject His engineered perception of us and accept their counterfeit perceptions of us. So He engineered in us our design and who we are. And when we accept Him, we accept that design. This is who I am, and I'm comfortable with being that. But if we reject that, we'll accept their perceptions of who they say we are. So you must fight to keep your sight. See who you are and be who you are. You can't let nothing stop you from that, because that's when people, like you wake up and the person didn't kill themselves. Didn't nobody, I was just with him yesterday. No, you weren't with him. You was with the counterfeit version. Because he wouldn't kill himself. She wouldn't kill herself. For what? For some fools? Right, so that's what's going to be important. So very few of us have pressed to really see or to know the love of God. We got to press to see and to know the love of God. Let's go to John 5. Now, I know some, listen, y'all want me to just tell you what you want to hear? Like, just water it down? Oh, I know. Well, I hope inspired you, send you on your way with your problems. That's what y'all want? It's going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. So I just been here all day. Everything going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. That's what y'all want? A song and a dance? Man, we grow like that? Sister Debbie, like, you know, just pump everybody up. Pump, pump. Like, boy, pastor, boy, he at least, remember that one joke? Now, that was funny. Now, that was funny right there. Now, pastor funny. Boy, pastor be cracking me up, don't he? Now, he sang that song. Boy, hit that fourth octave. Man, I tell you, that pastor, man, I love that pastor, boy. Yeah, so what did you learn today in church? Man, listen, I'm trying to tell you. I don't remember everything. I know it was good. Can't pass it on, can't apply it to your life. But take my word for it, it was good. You just need to come, man, get some goodness. Come on, man, come on, y'all. Like, because something's about to happen here real soon. How could I put it? Don't be mad at me. It's the best way I could put it. Because I've been given specific instructions. When it happened, let y'all know all the details. Because I don't be telling y'all everything, because people handle things certain ways. We tell y'all everything, be like, seriously? I don't believe that. Or, can I get some? you gonna hook sister up? You gonna hook sister up? Yeah. So some stuff we be like, we just, nah, babe, nah, we can't, we don't wanna share that. That'd be like, yeah, thank you, sister, wisdom. But obedience said what's about to happen, we gonna share. Don't be getting mad. Don't be trying to place your limits on us either. Well, I don't think that's necessary. Well, no, what's about to happen, God's going to do. So God's going to think it's necessary. Just to shake you up. I'm going to tell you, too. I'm telling you. No, I'm not. Y'all think I'm talking about something maybe, possibly is about to happen? No, I'm talking about what's going to happen. No. It's okay. All right. Now, I'm not going to. Okay. I'm not going to be mushing it in your face. I'm not that type of guy. I'm not a boaster. I'm not a bragger. I'm not. There's 1,000 things y'all don't know. But if God tells me to tell something as a testimony, I'm telling you. So I'm telling you. But it may be so overwhelming for some, you might choke in your celebration of it. I watched my grandson, some other people was making shots. He's clapping. Clapping. Then he stopped clapping at all. A little bit too much. So some of y'all gonna clap and celebrate. But I know some of y'all ain't gonna clap at all. Some of y'all gonna be, ah. Well, pastor, is that absolutely necessary? No, I'm gonna tell you ahead of time. It's not necessary. Because what God's about to do ain't got nothing to do with necessary. What God's about to do has something to do with his love for us. And his love for us and y'all. And especially some of y'all. Because I already got the whole planned out. I already know what to do. All right. Some of y'all, I don't know why y'all receiving, because they ain't telling me to do nothing for y'all. Don't get mad. I'm going to be obedient. I ain't going to be nobody's God. All right, so anyway, so let's go to John chapter 5. We're talking about God loves us. Just face it, God loves us. And the Father himself, 5:37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me, yet ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abiding, remaining in you, for whom he has sent him, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life, a true life. It says, I receive not honor from men. See, I'm not trying to get respect among fools, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. And what he was saying is, he says, man, God's constantly pouring his word about you, his design for you, his instructions for you to get to that fulfillment and that design, and you ain't receiving them. So then God took it to another level. He says, so maybe there's a void, there's a gap. So what I'll do is I'll send my son. He'll display the life, he'll show you the life, he'll sacrifice his life so you can get the life. And you ain't receiving him either. And then Jesus shows up and go, I don't even see the love of God in you. See, the reason, and it's easy to indicate, selfish people don't have God's love in them. Selfish people, they think they're going to miss out. So they take. Selfish people don't believe that they're going to get what God shows them, so they'll settle for less than they have. Selfish people are desperate people. They'll get with anything and anybody because they don't believe God has the fulfilling thing for them. And that would include relationships. Well, people that have the love of God in them, they look different. They carry a different level of patience because they know God loves them. His plan is better than theirs. They're like, oh, why settle for something that's going to crush me, weigh me down, cause craziness when I can get what God has for me? It's fulfilling. I remember when God was telling me what he had for me. And soon as God told me that, all types of relationships start coming at me. I was like, and in my mind, I was like, well, it looked right, but I know it wasn't God. So I was like, so I had to train myself. Nah, that's not what God. God told me I don't have to settle for no more. Thank God I did that. Because I just stopped doing sex and all that. I was like, I'm not having sex till I get married. So I cut out all that stuff, resetting my life. And I said, I'm not going to settle for anything less than what God has for me. Now, the interesting thing is I have my wife, but I've taken that to every other aspect of my life. I may go shopping. If they don't have what I want, I'm not spending money. There's other things that I like to do. I could be looking at, no, I'm not doing that because that's not what I really want. But sometimes you're tempted to settle for out of fear. If the love of God in you, you will only settle for fulfillment. Now you're not depressed. Now you're not kicking and screaming and arguing. Now you don't need to get smoked out to feel good, drunk out to feel good, because the love of God's in you. Jesus can easily see it because he's like, oh, you got that counterfeit courage in you. You know, that's alcohol, weed, drugs. You know, that's what y'all call it, because that's what we call it. That's fake courage. You know, like a person sitting around in a social gathering, and they're kind of quiet. They ain't really saying nothing. And then, like, an hour later, all of a sudden, they're the life of the party. But the brown bags came in, didn't they? And you got to look at the brown bag reader. How come they can only hold a conversation? I know folk, and I was one of them. On the way to the club, you got to go drink your courage. Don't get mad. What y'all want from me, man? I don't really need that stuff, you know? Prove it. Let me see you operate the way. That's why you see some of these players, you're like, man, he was great in college. What happened? The weed. You're like, I thought that dude was wonderful. I just heard about somebody. This dude was a top. I won't say what numbers, so I don't want nobody. Well, I won't say what year. Well, he was drafted. Well, y'all might go through the archives, right, if I do it that way. Well, he was top four. I do it that way. I ain't gonna say what year. That dude is, if he don't watch it, he might not be in the league. It's called counterfeit courage. And this is the setup. It's not courage that can sustain you. So on the front end, it'll make you feel good. On the back end, it'll have you paranoid. It's a trick. Y'all know I used to get high, right? To extremes. Thousands of dollars. On the front end, like you never repeat that. Because when you first do, you're like, man, I think I got something here. I don't even care what they think now. But how come on the back end you care what everybody think? It's a setup, man. It's called counterfeit courage. So now y'all can get mad because all y'all been, I know some of y'all participating in the counterfeit courage, but I ain't say no names. But that's what it is. Now you can leave out of here and tell yourself it's something else to justify your weakness in having the discipline to let it go, but don't show up at church because I'm talking about your stuff. Matter of fact, you can talk about what I'm doing if you want to. Mr. Bible man. Bible man, scripture, scripture, scripture. You can talk about it. I'm good. I'm not stopping what I'm doing. And if it's doing you so well, all you got to do is, hey, pull out your fulfillment card. If it's working for you, just go in there and pull out your fulfillment card. That's all. Right? If you can't pull out a fulfillment card, you might want to reevaluate what you're doing right now. Right? This is going over real well? All right, okay. All right, so we talked about pressing into God's love, which is agape love. So agape love is what? I see you and I know you. So God first loved us. That is unconditional. There was no conditions to God loving us, basically. So we want to press into agape love. But you need faith. It needs faith for you to believe and receive agape love. Because if somebody loves you, like when I met my wife, I put myself on the line first. We married 10 months after we met. We engaged 5 months after we met. So I put myself on the line. She ain't had to sit around going, well, does he love me? Is a ring coming? Might be coming. I don't know what's coming. Might be coming. He might love me. Might not love me. I don't know. He says he loves me. It's been 5 years now. I still haven't seen a ring. No. I put myself on the line. But it was hard for her to believe. She had to believe and receive that I loved her unconditionally without any conditions. We didn't have sex before we got married. And she was like, I don't know. This dude from New Jersey, I don't know. She tried to test me. I'm not going to tell you how, but she did try to test me. I passed the test. It was hard. It was very hard. But I passed the test. Right. But look, she had to believe and receive it. Agape love, you have to believe and receive it. It takes faith. Right? And it says, I see. See, when she crossed over to faith, she's saying, I see you and I know you love me. I see you love me and I know you love me. So that's the love we cross over. Phileo love is, I understand you. See, phileo is that brotherly love. So we have brotherly love. I understand you. Well, actually, I have agape love, too, because I've loved you unconditionally. Ain't that true? No, that's like an amen. I need an amen on that one. Yeah, all right. Let me know that it's not. It's been worth the trip. All right. That's a little flashbacks. Now I'm playing. He knows. You know I love you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Look, I said it in the mic, so put you on the spot. All right, so it says I understand. Phileo love says I understand you, so you may have that for a family member. It's phileo love. It needs an atmosphere to be maintained or deposited in. So it needs a connection. You're like a flesh connection. Phileo love. You know, like you're around people and then you're not around them anymore. You still love me, man? I ain't heard from you. You ain't called nobody. Well, I noticed you playing with such and such team now. I'm still cool. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's that. Phileo, I need proximity, right? Eros love is I feel you. Look, I don't have to explain that one. Yeah, I feel you. That's that touchy feely. It needs a flesh connection. So it y'all know. Well, I ain't getting into that. Y'all know what it means, right? All right. So we need to press in. See, because that's where our peace is, pressed into agape love, because that's where you find yourself. And see, that distance from the agape creates an impaired vision of value. Impaired vision of value. So you actually will devalue yourself. There was a great artist, she could sing her behind off, Phyllis Hyman, out of Philadelphia. Well, I know she was with Gamble and Huff, which was the label in Philadelphia. I don't know if she's from Philly. But she wasn't ugly, but she thought she was. She ended up dealing with depression, then she got into schizophrenia. She ended up dying. There's not a voice. I'm not saying she's the best voice in the world. There's never been a voice like it. She ain't sing like nobody. And she was not ugly. But she thought she was ugly, and she didn't think she could sing. See, look, improper image of herself. Because she wasn't in God's face. Right? And that's a lot of times what you go through when you're not in God's face. Right? Because what happens is God tells you how valuable you are, and then when you get away from God, it steals what God is saying about you out of you. In Mark chapter 4, it says, some received the word, right? So if the word. God's word is saying, I love you, and you're valuable. You're the greatest thing that I've ever designed, fearfully and wonderfully made. But it says, Satan steals it immediately from some people. So God tells you something, and then immediately you forget what God said. Then it says some people receive the word, but it don't take root. They get offended, and the word is stolen, snatched away from them. Some receive on stony ground. You got so much other stuff going on in your head, the word can't really get through. Some of you receive the word. You sit in here and go, I get it. But you allow the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, emphasize the lust of other things, enter in, and it chokes the word. You think allowing the lust of other things to enter in, it won't have no effect? It chokes the word. It steals your perception. And that's something that you don't feel, but it's happening. It's like getting cut with a razor blade. After the blood is going out for a while, and then the pain kicking, you realize you've been cut. But you know, somebody right now can walk right by you, cut you with a razor blade, and you'll be sitting there talking, praising the Lord, bleeding out. That's what happens when the world slipped, you allow that other stuff in, it takes the word away, you don't realize it until it's had a negative effect on your life. You don't realize you've been in a stupor, losing power the whole time until it's too late, until you're sitting in a hospital or something, or until somebody took the job. Now you value it. You was complaining every day, but now you don't value the job. You don't realize your words got rid of the job. Those same words could have elevated you to a promotion where you wouldn't have to deal with the mess you were dealing with. But you used the words to lose the job altogether and got that on your resume. Fired. No references. How's that complaining now? The same job you believed God for. If I just get this job, everything will be all right. You get the job, 3 weeks into the job. Man, these people trip around here. Remember that? My wife got a job. I said, she was like, babe, this is a great place. I said, hold on, babe. You ain't been there that long yet. It was a couple weeks later. She's like, these people crazy. Right? So I want you guys to understand, just to get back to valuing your worth. Right? Valuing your worth. Don't second guess your value. And the only way to do that is get in the presence of God. Well, I'm not preaching for you. Listen, I want you, and know scripture. Memorize it if you want to. Study scripture, but the scriptures are supposed to be applied in your life. They're supposed to reveal things to you. And don't let your hard heart or your consistent bad habits dictate your view of life. Some of you don't do anything new because you say, this is the way I've always done it. So you don't trust that you'll be able to change. All you got to do is start and be willing to change. God is the one that will perform it through you. Philippians 2 says, he has begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Why? Because just face it, God loves you. If you make a step towards him, he says, draw nigh to him, he draw nigh to you. Just take some steps. We talked about it on Wednesday night. Take courage. We talked about the courage test. Be willing to do the uncomfortable. That's all. Like try. And we talked about it Wednesday. Just do. Train yourself daily to do something uncomfortable. Like, I know I'm supposed to call him back. I don't want to. I'm going to call him anyway. How about that? Something like that. I know I'm supposed to go to church. I don't want to. I know I'm supposed to read. I don't want to. I'm going to at least read something every day. But so what happens is you start to pick up momentum. It's moment, 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 momentum. And before you know it, it's a new habit. So if you said 21 days, I'm going to just do the uncomfortable for 21 days. Try that. But not for 7 days, then go back to doing what you're doing. You've been doing the bad habit longer than you've been doing a good habit. You're just going to go right back to default. Then you're going to come in here guilty because pastor's going to start talking about what? Smoking, drinking, and all types of stuff. And you can come in here, does he know? He's sitting there like, was he with me? He does. He said he hears from God. I don't think I'm going to talk to him on the way out. I'll be like, how you doing, pastor? No. Then something touched me. Yo! Yeah, hey, y'all be going outside. Y'all be seeing me sometime. I'll be going outside. Hey, we didn't speak. Like, what's up? Where you going? Give me some love. I don't be rolling like that. And yes, I do know stuff, but what am I doing? I know it to try to find out how to pray and give you the wisdom to get out, not to like disqualify you, look at you like, I can't believe you did that yesterday. What kind of attitude is that? Come on.